ESPN 97.7 The Ref presents Stan Gerard on Basketball, a weekly inside look into the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program, featuring comments from the coach and a member of this year's USI team. Stan Gerard on Basketball is being brought to you by Tironi's, Allstott Office City, Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agency. Now with USI head coach Stan Gerard, here's the host of the show, ESPN's Dan Agurski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stan Gerard on Basketball on this Monday night. In this year of the COVID, we got to make adjustments on the fly, and COVID not the reason for a little bit of a delay in the start of the show tonight. Traffic accident just outside the hotel. The Eagles are in Springfield, Missouri tonight, getting set for a basketball game tomorrow, taking on Southwest Baptist. Stan Gerard joining us. How are you?
Great after a long day, Dan. Long bus trip. As you indicated, rolled into town and a really bad accident, looked very tragic, and there's prayers out to those involved. That was not good to look at. So
multi-vehicle accident as soon as we got off the interstate, and so I get to the hotel room and we're doing it. And obviously last week at this time, this show would probably have taken place in Evansville, but a lot of stuff going on every single day with college basketball season. So, boy, I tell you what, some great minds were at work on Friday. A lot of universities involved. So kind of take us through the thought process. So, you know, the USI was supposed to play Southwest Baptist. And when I looked at that schedule, Stan, I think like the second week of February, it was going to be a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, I know Springfield's about 6 hours from Evansville. Play a basketball game, get out at 10 o'clock, get back at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, then play jury on Saturday. But now we find ourselves down here in Springfield taking on Southwest Baptist tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, it's been a game of adjustments. We've just been shifting things around, and I feel sorry for the guys, man. They so many highs and lows this year with the last-minute change of postponements of basketball. And unfortunately for the guys over McKendree, they had a couple of COVID cases in the program. And we immediately got on the phone. We pretty much called every school in the league. We first looked at McKendree's schedule and kind of looked at and see who they were going to play. And realized that I think they had a game against Southwest Baptist, against Southwest Baptist, rather. And we called their coach, and he was wanting to play as well. So we was able to get a game here. We called Drury. We called Rockers. As you saw, we rescheduled a game against Indianapolis this Thursday because Indy was going to play McKendree as well. So we're just on the phone trying to make some moves. And thank God it all worked out because I was worried about my guys from an emotional standpoint. You know, we were told we wasn't going to be playing McKendree, I think, a day or two before the game. And if you saw the look on those guys' face, it was one I'll never forget. It's almost like they lost their best friend. So we try to do our best from a coach's standpoint to keep these guys, on a high. But at the same time, that's a lot to ask these kids to do, especially when you prepare for a team all week and then, boom, you get hit with a situation that we were hit with last week.
And that was the thing, too, with McKendree. It was more with the coaching staff rather than the players, right? I mean, it doesn't matter because it's within the basketball program.
Well, yeah, from what I was told, it was the head coach had already been out. You know, if you watch those guys online, the assistant coach has been coaching, and then he came down with COVID, and they were out of coaches. So I was – John Mark and I recommended the AD coach the team. So we were just trying to get the
bring
game.
Bring back Coach Statham.
Yes. Yeah, he was a great coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. No coaches to coach the team. I'm sure the players would love that because they had no one, telling them what to do, but no coaches, and we had to make some adjustments. So prayers are out for those guys as well. I really like those guys a lot over there, McKendree, especially Foss. He's a good dude, and I think Dirksen played at Bellarmine. Just a great staff, great group of guys to know, and I've been in touch with those guys quite a bit, and they're in good spirits, but also concerned about themselves and their families as well.
So, Stan, let me ask you this, just as far as rescheduling and try and find games, because, again, you have to play at least 11 games to qualify for the GLVC postseason tournament. So Eagles right now are at 5. We're, you know, second week here in January. But when you're in a situation where you guys were in on Friday, would it matter how many times could you play a team three or four times if you had to this year?
You know, I don't know the ruling is on. I don't know what the ruling is on that. I tell you what, I was going to try it. You know, I was going to call over to a couple of schools and see if we can go somewhere and play some back to backs. You know, I was. We'd even thought about driving to Rockers. You know, I know they had a cancellation as well. But you know, I haven't dug that much into the rules yet. But I bet it can be done because 11's our number, and that's what John Mark and I we talked about trying to get to 11 games. You know. We're going to play Indy, you know, strength of schedule wise to go to Indy probably will not help us, but we're just trying to get to 11 games and hopefully we'll get there at some point so we can have a chance to play postseason if we take care of our business from a win and loss standpoint.
All right, so the Eagles got a busy week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. The Saturday game originally scheduled for home will take place, and there was some talk last week when you and I had a conversation that we may play the two games against Indianapolis, both games at Nickerson Hall, but Saturday's game will be at Screaming Eagle Arena.
Back at home. And fortunately for us, you know, we was able to get on the phone with Indy, and we were having some issues working out that first rescheduled game. And when Paul received word that McKendry wasn't playing, I think he was in practice, actually, because I texted him. When I got news and he was in practice, so he called me right back and we was able to get it all worked out. You know, I originally thought we were going to play just play two games at Indy, but he wanted to get his guys back on the road as well. They're on break, so he wanted to come back down to Evansville and see the arena and play in the arena as well. So I was pushing for a Thursday Friday game, honestly, Dan, but we'll have a day in between to prepare for these guys on a back to back game.
Okay, so again, early start time tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock against Southwest Baptist in Bolivar, Missouri. Then the Eagles will head to Indianapolis, play there Thursday night, and then Saturday afternoon against the Greyhounds, again about 3:15 start at Screaming Eagle Arena. So a very busy week, and this is, we talked about this a little bit last week, Stan, the fact that, you know, all these, you know, we've had three games that have been postponed, but the fact that just trying to get some consistency. And so, you know, two games last week, and then there will be a week between the Quincy game and tomorrow afternoon's game. But still, that's a lot better than going into quarantine for 14 days.
Absolutely. And that's my biggest concern with our guys. I felt like we had a pretty good rhythm, you know, in the Quincy game. We played a really good basketball team, and they fought us down the stretch, and we was able to do some things that we didn't do against Truman a couple nights before against Quincy down the stretch. And some of the things worked on in practice, you know, all week leading up to the McKendry game, I thought we were prepared probably more so than before. And then we get the phone call, and it's kind of like sucking wind out the air of a basketball. Our guys just – the body language dropped. Their minds went to different places. So we had to get these guys a game. I don't know. We had considered calling around to some Division I's for exhibition games, but we were just looking to play someone else and try to keep that momentum going in the right direction.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back again last Tuesday night up at Quincy. The Eagles got the win against the Hawks. We'll talk about that. Individual recognition for a USI basketball player as well today. So, in fact, he'll be one of our guests coming up a little bit later on. So we're live here in Springfield. This is Stan Girard on basketball. We'll be right back here on ListenToTheRef.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm Agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise.
At Turoni,
ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Turoni,
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer.
So follow us down the Pizza Brick Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right, welcome back. Stan Gerard on basketball on this Monday night. Eagles in Springfield, Missouri, getting set to take on Southwest Baptist tomorrow afternoon. A 3 o'clock start will be on the air at about 2:40 tomorrow with the pregame show and then the tip-off at 3 o'clock. Well, Coach, let's just go back to the game with Quincy last Tuesday, road game. And after the first basket, Quincy took the lead with the three and then maintained that lead for quite a while the rest of the first half and a few minutes into the second half. But overall, just some final thoughts. Think back about a week ago in Quincy and just kind of what you were looking for going into that game from your basketball team on the heels of that loss against Truman State 2 days earlier.
I was just looking for a bounce back. I was concerned after the Truman game of our team unity. I felt like we fell apart down the stretch at Truman on both ends of the basketball, both sides of the basketball. And I told our guys before the game, this is going to be a tough basketball game because Quincy's a tough place to play. And I think the last two things I said to him walking out was gritty, not pretty, because I knew it was going to be an up-and-down game. I knew that Quincy would stretch the floor and force you out of your comfort zone. I wasn't too particularly pleased, especially the first half, with our three-point coverage on those guys. We were too far off of shooters, and we just had to stay the course. You know, we felt like if we keep pressuring these guys throughout the game, those shots they made early wouldn't drop. I think they went 12 or 35 from three, and we just pounded the ball inside, Dan. We scored 46 points in the paint. You know, Emmanuel Little, 25 and 14. Josh Price, 13 and 11. We didn't shoot the ball particularly well from three, but, you know, the game plan was to throw it inside and play off our bigs and less fadeaways and more shots at the basket to get to the foul line and whatnot.
Well, the thing of it is, let's just talk about the start of it because Clayton Hughes got the start. Jelani Simmons had started the first four ball games. Any particular reason for that switch?
Well, I wasn't too pleased with Jelani's defense over at Truman. We started, we put in a scheme on a defensive end at Truman, and Jelani totally forgot about it, and he wasn't great on the ball. So we put Clayton in that spot the first half. For Jelani, and then Tyler Henry struggled a little bit dealing with some personal issues and wasn't passing the ball very well, so we started Jelani the second half. But Clayton stepped into that role with 9 points, I think it was, or 10 points, whatever. He did a great job in terms of, you know, on the defensive end. Jelani responded off the bench with 7 rebounds for the game. But, you know, those two guys got to be more consistent. I know Their transfers is going to take a while, but they got to do a better job with their consistency, and I wasn't too particularly happy. So both guys, you know, understood what I needed out of them. Jelani understood the first half, and Tyler understood the second half. But I tip my hat off to guys like Chance Coyle and Tyler Dancy. You know, if you remember Chance Coyle, he came in and gave us some much-needed help on a defensive end, heck with their point guard, and just wore him down throughout the game. So it's just a total team effort. Total team effort.
Well, it really was. And Jelani, I think, kind of that second half when you guys made that run, went up at 1.63-50. And where I was thinking back about what you were saying about closing out games, and you knew that Quincy was going to make a run. They certainly did. They got the lead down to 1 point, I think maybe on two different possessions, but never did give up the lead. And so that was a thing that we didn't see at Truman State, and obviously we saw 48 hours later at Quincy.
Well, it was our first time in a situation at Truman of being in the game down the stretch and poor execution. And but you learn from your mistakes. You learn from winning basketball games. We had a chance to come back as coaches, clipped it for our guys, let our guys kind of see the things we did. We played, I think, the last 5-10 minutes of the basketball game so our team can see, you know, where we went wrong at. And I think that helped. You know, those guys did a great job of coming out, responding to some of the things they saw on film.
All right, so Mateo certainly had a big game, especially in the second half, led everybody in scoring. Well, he had 22. His buddy had 25, Emmanuel. But, you know, hit a big three. The team hit some free throws in the second half where that was a little bit of an issue in the first half as well. But Rivera logging 35 minutes. I know you want to get those numbers down.
Yeah, Chance continues to – I think Chance was great at Quincy. So we went through a stretch at 3 or 4 minutes where Mateo didn't play in the second half. We got to do more of that this week, especially with three games. You know, we got to get Mateo around a 25, 28-minute mark. I think he'll be more productive now if he can keep scoring 20 points, and I'll play him 35. But I think as the season goes along, if we don't decrease his minutes, we're going to lose him late. So we got to make sure we do a good job this week of playing deep into our bench so we can get through three games healthy, of course, and having our legs when the going gets tough.
All right, and speaking of coming off the bench, for about the first time in a year, Glenn Rowe was on the floor. And, boy, he came in, and, I mean, poor Glenn, the first 2 years, I know you watch USI play, but, boy, he'd get the ball, and I don't know if he knew where the rib was. And, boy, I think you can tell he has spent an awful lot of time shooting with all of the things that he has had going on, back, shoulder, concussion, everything else, but he comes in, gets the ball and doesn't hesitate, lets a three fly and hits nothing but net, scored 5 points, and his confidence right now probably as high as it's been at USI.
It is, and I'm very proud of Glenn. Glenn and I had a number of sit-downs, and his job is to shoot the basketball, and I informed him, and I'll tell him again, when he's in the game, his job is to shoot it, you know, if he's open. You know, if he's passing the ball, we can't use him because he's such a he shoots it at a high clip. And I remember the first half, I think it was the first half of Quincy, was inside out, kicked it out, and he caught that thing and didn't think twice about it. And then he got a big rebound for us and a putback. So he's going to help us. You know, I was concerned about him playing a lot, but we got to use him more. He can really help us stretch the floor, and our guys love playing with him because that takes away teams double-teaming us. You know, Southwest Baptist tomorrow double-teams the post, and Glenn should have a big day tomorrow if he's ready to go for some inside outs. But, you know, really happy for that young man because no one deserves to play more than him. He's been hurt, he's been beat up, and he still, you know, has a great attitude about it. It's easy to quit, you know, concussion, shoulder, back, everything. It's easy to quit, but he hung in there and he believes in what we're doing here. And I can't wait to see what he does here in the years to come.
Well, that's the thing, too, with him. I mean, he loves the game of basketball, the all-time leading scorer up at Boonville. And, you know, we'll do anything. And I just, you know, last year felt so sorry for him because that back, it just would not let him play. And he just couldn't go. And to be honest with you, I thought when you put your roster together this year, because I was talking to him on the bus today before everybody got on, he's got an internship that he did. He's working for a local engineering company. His GPA is 3.5, and he's upset about it. But, you know, the thing of it is, and I asked him, because we were talking about some of his labs for engineering are going to conflict with practice. And he's talked with you about it. He's talked with his professors about it. And you said, I mean, he's got a job waiting for him when he graduates. Mm-hmm. And he could just say, you know what, I've done this concussion, my back and everything else, and I'm moving on to the next phase of my life. But a kid just loves basketball, loves being around the program, and it certainly shows. And he's, you know, one of those unsung heroes, but I think the players really respect him.
They do. If you look at his schedule, chemistry, biology.
Oh, you know, yeah.
300 level math classes. Then he has a job, like you said, at Barry. He's going to be successful. You know, this stuff right here he's doing is only preparing him to take care of a family. You know what I mean? You know, oftentimes when, you know, I told Glenn, if you just communicate your schedule, let me know what's going on. And there's been times then where he didn't practice for 2 or 3 days, but came to practice when he could. And we were never forcing to practice if he has a lab or if he has a test or anything. And he's been very open and honest about what he had going on. There was a couple of times we had tests. Hey, miss practice. I got labs coming up. It's okay, miss practice. He's a student of the game. You know, we can give him a scouting report, and he can look through it, and he looks through it and he comes out on the court and feel like he's been a part of practice for a week. So him missing practice is not a big deal. I think the main thing with him is just making sure he has legs. Now we're going to utilize him more here down the stretch. You know, I think it's going to be more mental than anything and staying healthy. This second semester, he has a load. I think there's 2 days during the week where he cannot practice, and I'm okay with that. You know, student-athlete, and we believe in the word student-first, athlete-second, and he's a great example of that, and we're really happy to have him on the basketball team. But 3.5, I would have taken that in a heartbeat when I was a student-athlete, and he's upset about it, you know, because he's a perfectionist in terms of his academics, and I love guys like that on my basketball team.
All right, so the big win, because it kind of split the road trip. You look back and you think, boy, you'd love to have two or three of those possessions back at Truman. But, you know, you learn from it. You move on. What they got out of the Truman State game, I think they applied to Quincy. And now, you know, two of these next three on the road. In fact, next week on the road. So we're in a stretch right now of six of the seven basketball games will be on the road. And this is a chance for you, like you said, for these guys to kind of get to know each other a little bit. But what do you feel that victory at Quincy did for this team, just their chemistry, the trust of one another, and moving forward now to this next opportunity tomorrow?
I think the chemistry and confidence, you know, that was the main thing because, like I said, we've never been in a situation where we had to make plays down the stretch in a game. And I think that's going to, you know, carry us a long way. And then the chemistry part, you know, guys were believing in each other. Guys were genuinely happy because guys were making plays. And to be inside that locker room after that game and see how happy guys were for each other, that just made me so happy inside because of, you know, we had some tough times so far with COVID. And for these guys to be rewarded for the hard work and understanding of what we're trying to get accomplished here, that was a fun locker room to be in after that basketball game.
Okay, so you sit 3-2, and then you put together this this game here this afternoon or tomorrow against Southwest Baptist. Player of the week in the Great Lakes Valley Conference is sitting here with us, and obviously the first for you as a coach at US High, you got to feel good about this guy.
I called him the GOAT sometime. I told Hendricks today that he has a chance to be an all-time great here, for sure a Hall of Famer, you know, and his legacy, he's leaving good, great footprints here. You know, he's been here 4 years and has done a remarkable job on the court, in the classroom, and I think this is going to be a breakout year for him. I think this Player of the Week thing was well-deserved, and I think he can get this thing every week if he does what he did last week at Quincy, because I think he's the best player in the league.
All right, Emmanuel Litter, we're talking about. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the GOVC Player of the Week. When San Gerardo basketball continues right after this on ListenToTheRef.com.
It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto insurance today.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise.
At Taroni's.
Ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni's.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Made fresh right here, the best pizza in.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome back. Stan Gerard on basketball on this Monday night as the Eagles get set for three games this week. Tomorrow afternoon at Southwest Baptist, kind of an odd start time at 3 o'clock, but the Eagles will take it. They've got a game Thursday night at Nickerson Hall in Indianapolis, and then Saturday afternoon the Greyhounds will pay the tribute or pay back the visit the Eagles will make on Thursday. They'll come to Nickerson Hall on Saturday afternoon. All right, the Great Lakes Valley Conference reigning player of the week is with us here, Emmanuel Little. Congratulations on the award.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's not the first time we've celebrated that, is it?
Nah.
Did you ever win it as a freshman?
I don't know. I think so. I think you
got it one time, if I remember, because I got flagged about that because I didn't bring him to Indy, man. Everybody, every time you did something good at Indy, Simone would always text me like, hey, player of the week, 25 points. I got so much flack. Jeff Haney was the guy who did it. Every week he did something well. He sent me a text and let me know I made a mistake.
Well, obviously that was a big game at Quincy. And Stan was saying this, that you know that's the first time we've been there. That's the first time you ever played there. Mm-hmm. And you're just the way the schedule worked out. But just talk about last week, Emmanuel, the fact that, you know, had a lead, two-point lead with a minute 25 to go with Truman. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your fifth foul, Josh's fifth foul, kind of hurt the team down the stretch. Mm-hmm. But then to rebound against a good Quincy team in their building, what was it like just to be a part of that game on Tuesday?
Well, I think it was good for our team that we fought through some adversity. And, you know, I feel like that over the past, like, couple weeks or so, I haven't been the best leader. And this previous trip kind of I feel like I got better at a lot of things in that area, and I feel like guys are starting to trust me a lot more and starting to believe in what we're trying to preach, and that win and me rallying up the guys, it felt good. And I feel like now these guys are really starting to understand that I have their back more than anything, so it feels good.
Well, the thing of it is, you've been a starter or a, you know, you've contributed, I don't know how many minutes you played as a freshman, but certainly were an integral part of that team. 2 years ago, that team, you know, obviously getting to the Final Four, that was really kind of Alex's team. Let's mm-hmm. just, you know, but still, you know, you were an integral part of that. And then last year and now this year, and it's your senior year. Mm-hmm. But you look at the seniors in that game on Tuesday, you, Price, and Mateo, mm-hmm. obviously combined for about 50 points, mm-hmm. more than that, about 60. So what just – as you've kind of climbed the ladder mm-hmm. to get to your senior year, what, playing with the seniors before you, what were some of the things maybe they taught you that you're applying now during your senior year for some of these younger guys and the transfers that have come in?
Actually, they helped me out a lot, especially Alex. His work ethic alone helped me out. And before I got to college, I didn't see with my own eyes what hard work actually was, and seeing him get into the gym every day, 2-3 times a day, and it just opened my eyes up. Like I can't be one of those guys who doesn't match his work ethic. And same thing with leaders like Marcellus. He was here my freshman year. He was probably one of the best vocal leaders I've ever played alongside. I was never frustrated at him. His communication skills are great. And I still talk to him to this day. And what we mainly talk about is the best leaders unify; they don't divide. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to be that leader that guys remember and think I wasn't a good leader. And you know,
we've only played five games, but you look at, I just know last year, Josh really kind of came into his own. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shape he came in last year was night and day from the previous year. Mm-hmm. Then you look at him, and last year you were just physically just beat up. I mean, every time you got the ball, double and triple teamed, you were logging a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. But this year, we haven't seen probably two-thirds of the teams in this league, mm-hmm. but what I've seen so far, there should be nobody in this league that could stay physically with you and Josh and Tyler and those guys in the low post.
No. I think if teams aren't used to banging with guys as big as Josh and Tyler Dancy every day in practice, it's going to be a tough night for them every night, because it's just so much colliding and collision in practice. I'm always falling. Dancy's always falling because it's just so physical. And I feel like it. That's probably one of the things that we're the best at is, yeah, being physical. We got to use that to our advantage.
You have spent an awful lot of time with that, and you did this last year, 10, 15-foot jump shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, where was your confidence level in just kind of those fadeaways off the baseline on the elbows? I mean, you love taking those 15-feet shots. I don't know if this guy sitting here likes to see you do that, but you're pretty good going through that.
I mean, I just working out over the summer, just knowing that this is what I've been working on, and, you know, I've seen it go in. I missed it a lot of times over the summer, but I've seen it go in a lot as well. So, I just know my spots and I know my lane when I play basketball. I try not to get out of the box most of the time, and I feel like that's what has helped me most with my confidence.
Dan, let me interrupt you, man. Emmanuel and I were after the Truman game. We sat down and had a heart-to-heart about the team, and this guy is the most honest guy I've ever coached. And I can appreciate that. And his exact words were, "You're using me like Cody Zeller." And I don't know, man, Coach Pearl or anybody I ever played for would have took that the wrong way, man. And so I wanted to know why. So he pulled out one of my play cards, and he drew spots where he wanted to catch the ball at, where he's best at. And he got those spots against Quincy and player of the week, 25 points. So he has a bright mind when he's playing. You know, sometimes I get a little crazy with him as well in terms of my reaction. But those shots he takes, those fadeaways, if you see my reaction in practice, and then they go in, I think I told him and Joshua that you guys make just enough of those shots for me to be crazy or okay with it. But no one's in the gym more than him. And like he said, Alex is – and those guys who came before Alex has really left some great footprints here, and he's going to do the same thing because this dude's in the gym more than anybody probably I've ever coached besides David Logan at Indy. Yeah. And this guy's before practice, you know, hour after practice, hour, and he's getting shots up, which is why he's so confident in his craft.
So does he have the green light 15 feet in?
Yeah, it's his team. I mean, he's an All-American, so
okay,
it's his team. But yeah, he has a green light. I mean, he shot a couple threes this year, so he was trying to expand his game. I think I told him last week the threes he's missed, he's rushing. You know, he's got to shoot those. Like I remember having a talk with Pearl back in my play. I wasn't a great shooter either, but it's like if you catch a spot up shot, that's a great one to shoot versus like off the bounce or step backs. You know, we had that conversation. I think his numbers are going to continue to climb if he just slows down because he wants it so bad. You know, he works so hard in his game that. You know, he should be averaging 25 and 14. I think he feels that as well because he put in so much work. You know, but when you have other guys on the team, you got to sacrifice a little bit. But if he slows down and just trust the offense more and trust our guys more like he's been doing the past couple of days in practice in Quincy, he's going to get those numbers every night because now the primary focus is not just on Emmanuel. It's on Josh. It's on Mateo. It's on Clayton, you know. So, but he's going to be – end up being in the top three, top five in scoring and rebounding. He's going to break some more records here.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Emmanuel, because obviously the fans aren't at the home games. You won't see them in the road games. Yeah. As far as this team developing trust for one another, the chemistry, with all of the interruptions that you guys have had to experience so far this season, do you feel the team is, despite all of that, coming together?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. We all know what type of situation that we're in, and we're just trying to make the best out of it. I don't think guys are too pouty about anything. You know, this is the coach says every day, this is the world we're living in right now. We just got to deal with it. So, you know, I think everybody knows and understands that, so I think we're good.
Well, and the thing of it is like, you know, I think from the coaching standpoint, they're still experimenting a little bit, different combinations that need to be out there. Mm-hmm. So, and even like last week when Clayton got the start and then Jelani came in off the bench, you know, Elijah didn't play the Truman State game, got some minutes against Quincy. So all these guys were kind of the best players on their high school teams or where they were junior college. So from that standpoint, as far as people, they're not really looking at minutes or anything else or their stats. Is it all about, at the end of the day, USI has more points than the opponent?
wait, I'm sorry. So what are you asking?
Well, I'm asking you, is this team, the new guys, are they putting the team first as opposed to, okay, well, I got to get mine?
I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of meetings, and it's just right now I've been in their shoes before. I was a young guy who wanted to take more shots than Stein. You know, I wanted to be the man, you know, but it's all a process, and I always talk to they're capable. They're more than capable of being leading scorers on any team in the GOVC, I personally think. But, you know, it's just right now you just have to, you know, like you said, sacrifice and just put the team first and know that your time is going to come eventually. And I know that their time is going to come, and because I know how good they are.
You know, you and I talked the day that Coach Girard was hired. You and Mateo joined the radio show that we did. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about just, you know, the new coaching staff coming in. Mm-hmm. And with KG still staying on staff. So just that transition, your senior, I don't care if you're a senior in high school, an eighth grader, senior in college, it's always kind of tough. Mm-hmm. Your senior year when you played with the same coach the previous three.
Yeah.
But when he got the job, I know you, if I could have seen your expression through the phone, I knew you were excited. Mm-hmm. So how was this transition now gone that you played five games with this new coaching staff?
It's good. Coach Watson told me the same thing. He told me this. He said that he's going to teach me a lot of things that he didn't know. And it's true. I've learned so much, and I have just a whole totally different look on things. And I feel like toward when you know, term and time comes around, we're going to be in a good place. And I feel like Coach G is doing a great job leading the way.
Okay, so you told me, Stan, that when your first conversation with Emmanuel, he asked you how many records you still have because he's going to beat every one of them.
He did. And we don't realize, I have control of that. If he gets too close, we're going to pull him, man. No, but I hope he does break my records. And he probably already has. I haven't even looked at the record books. I hope he does. That means we're winning. That means our team is having some success. You know, my time has passed. You know, 25, 30 years ago, it's all about these young guys right now. And I'm very excited about this week and what the future holds for this basketball team and this guy we have to, after the season's over with. I'm very excited about his future.
Well, it's going to be pretty good for you guys. The two of you have been kind of going back to Indy on Thursday. I mean, we talked with you about this the last 3 years, but this will kind of be your last game at Nickerson Hall, you and Mateo and Josh. And so obviously tomorrow's a very, very big ball game, but – how much are you looking forward to getting back to Indianapolis later this week?
I'm pretty excited. I want to win this one, not for myself, but Coach G. And it's my last time playing at UND, so you know I'm not going to force anything, but I want to have a good game that game for sure.
All right, so we'll talk about Southwest Baptist here in just a second. We appreciate you coming by, Emmanuel. But Stan was saying already that they love to double-team the post.
Yeah.
So what are you expecting, you and Josh and Tyler and Keegan tomorrow? What are you expecting down low, double-team?
Yeah, of course, and just making the right play after that. I feel like we have good guys on our team, so they probably won't be able to do that for very long but throughout the course of the game. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the Player of the Week honors, and look forward to this one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, Emmanuel Little joining us here. Stan Girard on basketball. We'll come back. We'll talk about Southwest Baptist when the show continues here on ListenToTheRef.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm Agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise.
At Taroni,
ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Mark's Mattress Outlet is the only store in town where you will save up to 80% off famous name brands every day. Mark's Mattress Outlet carries the top name brand mattresses at closeout, clearance, and liquidation prices. They also manufacture their own line of luxury sleep natural mattresses, pillows, and adjustable bases, saving you up to 80%. That's compared to famous name brands. All famous brands are stocked, so bring your truck, your trailer, and sleep well tonight. Go to MarksMattress.com for a location near you and download the Outlet Pass for even more savings. Mark's Mattress Outlet, name brands for less.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.
Welcome back, Stan Gerard of Basketball here on this Monday, and we'll be back normal time next Monday night. Well, we say that, but that's all our intention. But, we were not expecting.
We could be playing next weekend. You never know.
Never know. So, all right, Stan, well, let's talk about Southwest Baptist. 6-1 is their record. Their most recent game was against William Jewell. That was last Saturday, and they beat them 74-62. They've got a couple of wins over William Jewell. Their one loss was against Umsel. What can you tell us about Southwest Baptist?
Well, four guys are in double figures from a scoring standpoint. Led by Brady Smith, who's he's just a solid player. Brady not shooting the ball particularly well right now. Neither of these guys are, but they just – they run good motion. They don't stop moving, which is our Achilles heel. They kind of remind you. I told Kevin Gann, who has a scout, they kind of remind you of Drury, a slower version of Drury. Not overly quick. They just execute. They want to slow you down and make you play half court basketball. They share the ball particularly well. But another one of those teams where. Good motion could get you beat, especially late in the shot clock. So we have to be great, not just early in the shot clock, but late as well. So our goal every game, of course, is to speed the team up who wants to play slow. But that didn't work out too well last week against Quincy because they picked our zone, our press apart. But like I said, four guys in double figures. And our thing is keep them out of the paint. They scored a lot of points in the paint against Indy a couple of days ago. And Jewel as well. I think they scored 30, 35 points in the paint, just driving the basketball on shot fakes and getting angles on the defender and getting to the paint, bigs or helping uphill and dump down. So very solid basketball team.
All right. So, I mean, I look at their starting lineup, and they've got four guards and a forward. And so normally I would think, okay, well, is this a three-point shooting team like we saw against Truman and Quincy? But, well, against Jewel, they go 4-21. So – that tells me just kind of what you just echoed, that this is a team that likes to get the ball down low, and you see a lot of back screens and everything else tomorrow.
Back screens, down screens, flares, and curls. That's what we worked on for the last day and a half, because that's what you're going to see. They do a great job with their back screening, but also on those double down screens and curling off the first guy, and a lot of pops and flares, and something we're not used to guarding is very many flares these days, but. We've worked on it. We're gonna look to switch four ways, but you may see me adjust quick because as good as it was in practice yesterday with switching, it wasn't very good today because you have to talk when you're switching a lot, and we didn't talk. I don't know if practice was too early. The guys will think about this long bus ride, but if we're not talking very well, we gotta do away with switching because if you're not talking when you're switching on defense, you're gonna get beat very, very bad.
And it looks like they've got a little bit more depth. Some of the guys off the bench in double-digit minutes against William Jewell. So I know the last, you know, Truman State and Quincy, basically about seven guys, but Southwest a little bit deeper than that.
They are. Like you said, a lot of guys they play. And keep an eye on, I'm going to give you a name, Ricky Crawford Jr. He's a freshman. I think this kid is special. He can really score the basketball. I think 21 points against Jewell. He's 7 of 15 on the year from 3, 15 of his 24 shots are threes. But keep an eye on that kid because he can really score the basketball. Gets downhill off the bounce, can dribble hard, going right on the dime and shooting fadeaways. The kid's really good, and I think we're going to struggle with him. I think once he comes in, we got to immediately put Tyler Henry in him because Tyler Henry's our best defender. To not allow this guy to get going. But Ricky Crawford Jr. is a really good basketball player at 6'4".
All right, so this is a team that is up near the top with Truman with just one loss. It's a road game, so as far as the point standings and everything else in the GOVC, I mean, a huge basketball game, knowing that Indianapolis, you know, coming up the next two games on Thursday and Saturday. So this could be the start of a great week here.
It could be, and I think we need it. This could be a signature win for us with these guys sitting at 6-1. And then we go to Indy, which is another game that we can't look at that 0 and whatever record they have and think we're going there and win. These guys are going to be 10 or 15 points better because of my history there. So, but I think first things first is Southwest Baptist. You know, I was just talking to Sprue on the bus. He started talking about Indy, and he knows I'm very superstitious about talking about the team ahead. I'm a one-at-a-time guy. So we got to take care of business tomorrow and make this trip worthwhile. You know, John Mark Hall afforded us the opportunity to take this trip at the last minute, and I think we owe him and the great people back in Evansville a victory tomorrow.
So how much – my wife was asking me this last night. She said, have you seen any of the fans? I'm like, no. Have you talked to any of them? I'm like, not really. I mean, I know, you know, some of the folks, the Fultons, Dan Nix, and some of our sponsors, Martin Woodruff, you know, you talk to them quite a bit. But, you know, overall, just the fans that love USI basketball, have you had much of a chance, at least on the phone, to talk to some of these guys?
This is not the homecoming I envisioned, man. You know, because of my history here, I know pretty much all the fans. I talked to quite a few on the phone. Like you said, Martin, I talked to Martin quite a bit. I talked to Danny Fulton, he and his dad, when you and I were running around. We still do the Fast Break Club. You know, we have those meetings, but, you know, we haven't had one since December because we had the bad COVID outbreaks. But if I had to pick anyone who I'm around the most, is probably Ray and Cindy Bippis. You know, they have been both of my parents have passed away, and they kind of stepped into that role of being my new mom and dad. And we spent a lot of time with Ray and Cindy Bippis. We in the fall when we first came here, we would go to their house and sit outside and bonfires and dinner. My daughter do arts and craft with Cindy, but great family. Even when they used to come to Indy, they used to always come to our house and hang out. So I talked to those two quite a bit. And I get a couple text messages after every radio show, like, hey, great job on the show. I listen. So I know they're listening, and I thank everybody for that. But I can't wait till we can hang out so I can see these guys at Taroni's, and I'm sure we'll do some other things together. But haven't been the homecoming I envisioned because of COVID, and it just is what it is, and we all just have to be patient, and then once everything opens back up, we'll celebrate together and hang out. So I can't wait.
All right, good deal. All right, so tomorrow again, tip off 3:00, our pregame show at 2:40. USI taking on Southwest Baptist. Be a big ball game tomorrow. So you talk about defense and you know, not breaking down the last 6 or 7 seconds of the shot clock. Offensively tomorrow, what do you got to do against their defense? It sounds like they're going to pound the post.
We got to be solid on the defensive end. I think my biggest thing is we can't give up driving angles. I think watching these guys, they do a great job of attacking closeouts. We have to win our closeout. We cannot close out giving up direct lines to the basket, forcing someone else to help. That's from a defensive standpoint. You know, we got to control the boards like in every game. I think we were plus 14 against Quincy. And I expect that every game. Offensively, we got to play an inside-outside attack. We have to go quick when the ball is passed inside. The double team is coming from the top. So we got to post our guys above the block so they can spin baseline. Emmanuel's great at catching and going quick. So we have to expect a double team. But when that ball is passed in the post, when that double team is coming, we got to get somebody cutting. We can't have much standing around tomorrow because a double teaming team wants you to stand around for steals. So we got to make sure we do that. On the road, you got to take care of the basketball. You know, you got to make your free throws. You know, you got to defend. So those are the three main things we got to do a great job at. But those 2 points I gave you on the offensive-defensive end have got to be crucial for us tomorrow.
All right, should be going tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on ESPN. All right, Coach, appreciate it. And hopefully next week get back in Evansville. But, well, let's get this week off to a good start. Get one tomorrow.
Let's get one, and then we'll try to go. We'll go for two more here. But I'm really excited about just playing again. Our guys, they're ready to go. They're ready to go.
All right, it's a good deal. For Corey Clayton back at the studios, Stan Gerard, this has been the Stan Gerard on Basketball Show here on ListenToTheRef.com.
You've been listening to Stan Gerard on Basketball here on ESPN 97.7 The Ref. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Taroni's, Allstott Office City, by Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff State Farm Insurance Agency. Be listening each Monday night throughout the season for Stan Gerard on Basketball. Tonight's show has been another sports presentation of Evansville Sports Programming Incorporated and ESPN 97.7 The Ref, always the right call.
Alabama 14, Ohio State 7. You're listening to the College Football Playoff National Championship presented by AT&T on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
If you are buying or selling a home, Max Dedman of ERA First Advantage Realty and the Crick team is always ready to help. Timing is so important when dealing with a home, and so is having the right person on your side to guide you through every step of the process. Give Max Dedman a call today at 812-319-4846. Again, that's 812-319-4846, or reach him by email at max.dedman.